Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Yomi. Sanhedrin Daf Mem, a brand new perek, says the Mishnah, back to the cross-examination process applied to the witnesses. So we check them, we query them on seven different aspects of their basic aspects of their testimony. Sheva Chakiris. Number one, Be'eze Shavua. Now, the point of the Sheva Chakiris is to establish the basic facts of time and place that the alleged event took place. As we're going to see in the Mishnah and later on the Gemara, these are critical facts. For without them, you cannot make them Edim Zoymimin. Plotters, you can't turn them into plotters. Because how does the Edim Zemimin process work? You have another two Edim who come and undo this testimony by attesting to the fact that, look, you're telling us about an event that allegedly took place at this location at this time? Well, actually, at that very same moment, you were with us in a totally different location. Okay, so in order to establish them as Edim Zemimin, to falsify their Edis, turn them into plotters, you have to first establish, you have to first know. You have to hear from them the where and the when. And there are seven aspects to that. Beis Shavua, we ask them, which Shavua? Shavua here is a set of 7 years, so every Yovel has seven sets of 7 years. So which one was it? Okay, so that's sort of the big picture. Beis Shana. Okay, once we know which Shavua, which year of those 7 years did this event take place? Beis Chodesh. On which month? Bekama b'chodesh. Which day of the month? That's not enough. Even though really, says Rashi, you can just figure it out. I mean, once I know which year, which day of the month, I know which day of the week it was as well. But no, says Rashi, we add another question. Please tell us, on which day of the week did it occur? And the reason for that is, says Rashi, is because we want to highlight all those details, publicize exactly what, when, where, how, so that Edom sitting out there that potentially can make them Edom Zemimin, well, it's going to jog their memory. Oh, that Wednesday, they were with us at the park. Right, so that's what we want to highlight, all these details, even though some of them can just be calculated, because once we know which year, which day of the month, we can just look up the calendar. Okay, it's a Tuesday. No, we want to publicize the fact that it was Tuesday of that week, so that we know exactly when, and it's clear, and the Edom that could potentially turn them into Edom Zemimin will take the cue and come and offer their testimony. So again, Beis Shavua, Beis Shana, Beis Chodesh, Beis Kama B'Chodesh, Beis Yoyim, Beis Shah, which day of the which hour of the day, well, you know what time it was, Beis Mokim, and finally, location. Rabbi Yossi Omer, you know what, you don't have to go this far, as long as you have the day, the hour, the location, you're good. And the Gemara, of course, will explain the Machlekes for this. Beis Yoyim, Beis Shah, Beis Mokim. Okay, so until now we have the list of chakiros, basic elements pertaining to the story, which we garner from the Edom, and as we said, it's a total of seven chakiros. Now we move on to the next phase called bedikos, more detailed questions, but they're not so critical, they're not so crucial to the actual story. And in fact, we'll see in a minute, if the Edom just plead the fifth on the bedikos, then they're still considered kosher. For instance, makirin atem oisoi. So you speak about a murder, a scene that you witnessed. So could you tell us exactly who the victim, do you know who the victim was? His race and boy, did you warn the perpetrator? However, that with the Zara, if you're coming to testify about a person worshipping idols, could you tell us some more details about the facts? Esmi avad, b'me avad. Which idol did he worship? What form of avodah zarah did he employ? And in fact, kolamar bebedikas harizu meshubach. We try to trick them. We try to trip them up. The more questions that we ask, the more we throw them off kilter, and the more the better, the more the more praiseworthy harizu meshubach, so that we get to the bottom of the story. In fact, masa, there was a story. Ubadak ben Zakkai. There was a dayan by the name of Ben Zakkai. So there was an edus about a murder that took place under a fig tree, and he turned to the edim and he says, you know what, under the fig tree, okay, what about the stems of those figs? Were they thick? Were they thin? And this way he would, you know, dig further into the story and perhaps trip them, come to contradict each other, in which case that would disqualify the whole testimony. So the more the better. So we lumped them into two groups, right? We have the basic details, basic facts, the when, the where, and then we have the advanced, more detailed questions. What's the difference between one and the other? In terms of halachic ramification. So, chakiros, when it comes to basic facts, if one of the edim says, I don't know what day it was. Edus and betela, you disqualify the edus. You can't take it further. Because as we explained, without establishing those basic facts, you cannot even come to hazam. You cannot even attempt to make them edim zemimin, because it's based on, you know, time and location, and you don't have that, you have nothing. As opposed to bedikos, the other, you know, related details, echad oim any day. If one of the edim says, I'm not sure, both. Even if both of them say we don't know, you can still accept the edus. It doesn't disqualify their testimony. Edusim kayemes. However, if there's a contradiction between the two individuals, echad chakuris vechad bedikos, whether it pertains to this or that, bizmashim akhishin zezeh, when they contradict each other, that undoes edusim betel, undoes their testimony. Now, what constitutes a contradiction? How close together they have to be in terms of relating the facts? So let's say you have a slight discrepancy. Could it still fly? So we'll see. Up to a point, let's call it the margin of error, right? So within that margin of error, you can still accept their divergent stories. So we know that some months are 30-day months, some are 29-day months, especially in the time of the Sanhedrin. It was an unknown. It was unpredictable. It was month by month, depending on when the Adam came and when they turned the month, right? Turned the new month. So you can have one aid who was notified about the fact that it was a long month, so now it's only the second day of the next month, and the other fellow didn't know. He thought it was a short month, so now it's really the third day of the next month. So that can somehow be used to jive the testimony to reconcile the differences, and we can still accept it. Echad oimer b'shnayim b'chodesh. Reuven claims the story happened on day two of the month. Ve'echad oimer b'shloisha b'chodesh. Shimon claims it happens on day three. Edus and kayemes, they're close enough, you could accept it. And Mishnah explains, oh, shazei yadeya b'yirboish b'chodesh, that Reuven, who said it was the second day of the month, because he knew that last month was a full month, a 30-day month, in which case now it's only day two of the next month. But Shimon doesn't know about the Ibur Chodesh. He thinks it's already a new month. A day before it was really happening, so now he thinks it's the third day of the month. But really, it happened the same day. There's no contradiction. But if there's a real wide gap between their Eidus, Z'ayim B'Shleish, right? V'Echadim B'Chamisha. Reuben speaks about day three of the month, Shimon about day five. That gap is too wide; it cannot be reconciled based on a confusion regarding the one day, you know, Ibur HaChodesh, the 2 day gap. And therefore, Edus and Betela would disqualify the Edus. What about in terms of what time it happened? Echad Oimer B'Shtei Shois, Ve'Echad Oimer B'Shalosh Shois. Reuben said it happened 2 hours into the day, and Shimon says it happened 3 hours into the day. It's close enough within the margin of error, edus and kayemes. But 3 to 5, that's too wide of a gap. Echad oimer b'shalosh. Reuben says it happened in hour number 3. Ve'echad oimer b'chamesh. Shimon says in hour number 5. Edus and betela disqualified. Reuben da'imer kayemes. It's still close enough, we can accept it. But all agree, between 5 and 7, between hour 5, which is, you start the day 6 a.m., right? That's the way it works. So Hour 5 is 11 o'clock, and hour 7 is 1 in the afternoon. That cannot work. Reuben says it happened 11 o'clock in the morning. And he says it happened 1 o'clock in the afternoon. That's bottle. Because they should have been able to tell based on the position of the sun. In the morning, sun is in the east. In the afternoon, it's in the west. So you can't really jive their testimonies. It's a whole different circumstance, a whole different setup, right? So it could not have happened. You know, one of them is certainly off. One of them is making it up. There's no way to excuse him for being so far off, speaking about morning when it's really in the afternoon, or vice versa. Okay, once we finish Chakirois, the basic, challenging questions, and the Bedikois, the more detailed questions, and it turns out that they're okay, that they seem to be saying the truth. Sorry, we only did it to one aid. Right? Now we go to the next aid. Now we send out the first aid, and we call on the second aid. We go through him as well, we check him. Oh, it turns out that both stories match. Now it's time for the Bezdin to begin their deliberation process. And we initiate on a positive note. Look, we hope you're innocent. Let's see. Now let's say one of the Edom suggests that he has some insight in defense of the litigant, defense of the person being judged. We don't accept it because perhaps he's just trying to save his skin. He feels bad that he falsified the edus. He knows he can't change that, so he's going to try to, save the person otherwise. We don't accept it. Alternatively, you have one of the junior members of the Talmidim there, one of the spectators. He's not a spectator, he's a sort of a reserved dayan, but he's not really a certified dayan. And he says, you know what? I want to propose a legal argument against this person. We have a pasuk that we don't accept it. Mishat k'noisai, we quiet him, we silence him. But amar echad natamidim yeshli l'lamad olav ezachus. If one of the talmidim proposes ezachus, we bring him up, make a big fanfare, we accept him, and we give him covered malin oisai. We bring him up to the bezin, and we shivin oisai b'nei, and we seat him between the dayanim. V'lo yhaya yored misham kolayim kulay, and we leave him up there for the entire day. This is, going to encourage others to do likewise, because they're looking to defend him, to be melamed zechus on this person. Now, im yesh mamash bedvara, if it turns out that this Talmud has something substantial, right? Shemin loy, then we accept it, and we absorb it into our deliberation process. And here comes a punchline. Afilu hu emir yesh li lamed al atzmi zechus, even if the person who's being judged claims that he has something favorable to say about himself. Shemin loy, we listen to him. Bubad, sheyesh, mamash bedvarav, provided there's some substance, not just, wasting our time. So, after the whole process is done, v'motz lo zechus, if we find him to be innocent, but true, we let him go. V'mlav, but otherwise, turns out that he's going to be guilty, we're heading in that direction. We don't conclude on that day. We leave it overnight, we deliberate further, hoping to clarify things and perhaps exonerate him. We're speaking about Dine Nefashis, of course. Mavir Naisel Machar, we adjourn till tomorrow. Umizdavgen Zugezugis. In the meantime, we set up pairs, learning partners, Chavruses, amongst the Dayanim, to work through the arguments, to analyze the story. They would minimize their food intake to increase their concentration. In fact, they wouldn't drink wine the whole day. The whole night they're sitting and discussing it. The next day, they get up and they go to the bezin. Okay, where are you? I'm a zake. So the dayan who yesterday proposed a favorable position, Omer, he says, I'm a zake. Yesterday I was a mazake. I'm still holding there. I got to stick to my position because, of course, as we explained the other day, during the actual Masu of Matan, we can't switch tracks. Only at the end can you switch if you decide to, but at this point, he has to stick to that position. And likewise, the Dayan, who had a negative view of this person, he was proposing guilt. So he says, look, I'm actually sticking to my position, and hamalamet chayvim lamet zchus. And as we explained, hamalamet chayvim can switch tracks to zchus. Aval hamalamet zchus ein yochel lachzor lamet chayvim. But at this preliminary point, during the deliberation process, before they conclude, the melamed zchus cannot. We don't allow him to switch tracks in order to encourage him to pursue that avenue further. But of course, during the actual Gemara Din, during the final vote count, everybody is free to voice their opinion, or whatever it may be. Now, Tohu B'Davar, let's say there's some sort of confusion in terms of the testimony, in terms of yesterday's process, in terms of the details discussed, and or let's say in the case of the Dayan, he's not sure what his position was yesterday. So the we have the transcribers, right? Shnei Sofrei Dayanin, Maskir and Oisei. We have two Sofrim there who have it all written down, and they come and they remind him. Imotz leis chus p'taru. At the end of the day, if they find him to be innocent, we exonerate him. We send him away. Vimlav. Otherwise, looks like we're going to find him guilty. Umdin laminyan. So we take our vote. So we have 23 Dayanim. Shnei Osar Mizakin, Vachad Osar Mechayven. 12. Arbi Mezake, 11 Arbi Mechayiv, Zakei. So we send them free. Shnaim Aser Mechayiven, Ve'echad Aser Mezaken, 12 against him, 1 for him. Afilu Echad Aser Mezaken. So it's not going to work because you need at least 2 Dayanim to tip the scale to find him guilty, right? So it's only 12 versus 11. We can't conclude based on this number. And even if you have Afilu Echad Aser Mezaken, Ve'echad Aser Mechayiv, even if you have 11 against 11, but the last dayan says, I'm not sure, I have no opinion. So once again, you cannot really conclude the process at this point. You have to go add more dayanim. Afilo eser mishnayim mezaken oy mechayven. Listen to this, we have 22 dayanim out of 23 who are for him or against him. But the last remaining dayan says, you know what, I have no opinion. It doesn't work because we need a total of 23 active voting dayanim. You see about dayanim. Have to call in some reserve dayanim and add 2 more. V'kamim v'yisif, and how many do you add at a time? Shnaim, 2 at a time. Which means to say, if you add 2, and again, you have an even split, one goes this way, one goes that way, so again, you can't really conclude. So you can add and add and add until you get to the maximum number of dayanim allowable, which is 71. Achiv echad, corresponding to the Sanhedrin Agdolo. Now, when you get to 71, it's not necessarily an easy ride because you can end up with a deadlock again. Shloishim v'shisha mezaken. Shloishim v'chavisha mechayim. Okay, let's say it's 36 for good and 35 find him guilty mezaken, then he's free. That's good. But shloishim v'shisha mechayim. Shloishim v'chavisha mezaken. 36 chayiv and 35 zakai. So it doesn't work because it's only one tipping the scale to chayiv. So you got to just go back and forth and debate the issues until you get some sort of somebody to change his opinion and switch over. Don and Elu connected Elu, so both teams sort of debate each other. Achir echad men mechayven. The Mishnah looks to find zechus, so we pick that option. One of the mechayven will turn around and adopt Dibre HaMazaken and vote for him, so he'll end up being free. But it can go the other way too. We just sort of took a positive reference. Okay, Menani Mili, how do we know that in fact we check out the Edom so extensively with 7 Chakirois? Amar Rabbi Dodah Makra, we take a look at the Pesukim. So first of all, by Ir HaNidachas, entire city, who got involved with Avodah Zarah, we have a Loshen, V'Darashta, investigate, V'Chakarta, look into it, V'Sha'alta, Hetiv. So it's 3 expressions of investigation. V'Darashta, V'Chakarta, V'Sha'alta. V'Omer, now we have by a person who worships Avodah Zarah privately. So again, we have v'sha'alta hetiv, right? We have v'darashta and we have hetiv. So it's 2 more. You see, in the first pasuk, we have Vishamata, Vidarashta, Vchakata, Vishalta. So Rashi explains Hetiv can't really add another one because the Rashta without Hetiv just means, look into it. Hetiv changes the whole understanding. Right? that you really have to do detailed investigation. So in the first pasuk, you have v'darashta v'chakarta v'sha'alta. Heitev is not really going to be add another a number, because heitev is coming to sort of elaborate that that v'sha'alta means to investigate, a proper investigation. So it's really a total of three, right? Then by ir nedachas, where you have v'darashta and heitev, that's another two. V'omer, then you have by edim zeimimin, v'darshu hashoftim heitev. So you have v'darshu and you have heitev. So if you take the count, you have a total of seven expressions of, you know, investigation. Right? We have three by the ir nedachas, two by the oved avodah zarah, and two more by the edim zeimimin. A total of seven, corresponding to the seven chakirois. Asks the Gemara, who says we're allowed to sort of bundle them together? Maybe each case should be dealt differently, separately. So by Eir Nedachas, three forms of investigation. Avodah Zarah, two. Avodah Zarah, two. How do you know that we sort of share them for a total of seven in all cases? Because according to you, they need seven all around. Torah would just state all seven in one location and will expand it and extend it and import it to other cases. Answer is, since in all these places the Torah does use similar language of Drisha, Hakira, and right, that allows us to share and learn from each other, because basically the Torah is telling us that a proper drisha v'chakira has to be done, combining all these different expressions for a total of seven. The kivan the alfi ma'adad, and since they learn from each other, command the ksiv b'chad adam. It's as though it's all stated in one case, in one situation. We sort of share it together. It's one concept, right? So all of them have to sort of join together for a total of seven. Now we know in each case, in each situation, in each dinei nefashes, we apply all seven chakiras. Asks the gemara, hold it. What right do we have to learn one from the other? They're not really comparable. You see, the point of Drisha v'chakira, says Rashi, is really, really working in favor of the litigant, because you're making it more difficult for the Adam's testimony to be to pass and to be accepted. So perhaps it only applies to cases where we're looking, where we find some element of leniency. For instance, let's see, v'loidami l'adadid, cases cannot be comparable. Simon Polat Saif Hasro. Ir Nedachas Lanach Tarti. You can't compare Ir Nedachas to the other cases of Avodah Zarah and Edim Zayim. No, it's not comparable. She came in Moinim Poli. Because as opposed to Ir Nedachas, where we actually destroy all their assets, by the other cases, that doesn't happen. Moinim Poli, their assets are salvaged. So who says we can import the Chakiras of Ir Nedachas to the other cases? And we're going to go through the whole, sort of all the different, combinations here, and we're going to see that they don't really match up. Avodah Zarah lanach tarti. For instance, Avodah Zarah is not comparable to the other two. Loi damya shekein v'sayiv, because the punishment applies to Ir Nedachas, or Edim Zemim in the case where they plotted to murder somebody, is sayiv, death by sword, which is a relatively lighter form of death sentence. As opposed to Avodah Zarah, where there's skila by stoning, which is very severe. Who says he gets the same perks of a proper drisha v'chakira? And then we have edim zayimin lanach tart ledami. You can't compare edim zayimin to the other two. She can't tzrich nasra, because we find by edim zayimin there's a leniency, because by the avodah zarah and all those you have to warn these people, but not by edim zayimin, right? There's no hasra. You don't warn them ahead of time. And therefore, there's a certain chumrah, certain stringency, and perhaps it doesn't justify a full-fledged drisha v'chakira. Tzrich masra, says the Gemara, you're right. We can't just connect them logically. Rather, we have a gzira shava, and that cannot be challenged. Behetiv, heitiv, yalfinim adadi, because in all three, the lashon heitiv is mentioned. Gzira shava mufna, that's an available gzira shava, which means to say that the words are not used for anything else. Dilei mufna, because otherwise, if it's not available, and waiting for this gzira shava, ikal mirra, you can challenge it. The halach is that even a gzera shava, which means that you find a certain expression, a certain word in this context and a similar word elsewhere, we connect the two contexts based on the matching words. So if there's any room to challenge the matchup, you can do so unless the Gzeira Shava is a mufna, which means that these words that are being used for Gzeira Shava are available and free only for the Gzeira Shava, which makes it like the, as if the Torah clearly stipulated that halacha in these contexts, in these places. Yeah, says the Gemara. Of course, la'ai, correct. Afnuye mufna. The word hetev is fully available for the Gzeira Shava. Why? He didn't have to say hetev. If you want to just add another question, another to the list of chakiris, to get you the number of seven, medahavle lemichtav, medorsha v'chakru. Let's go back to those psukim. Right? We have v'hugad l'chav v'shamata v'darashta hetev. He didn't have to say hetev. He should have just said v'darashta v'chakarta. Right? Hetev is an unusual lashon. Or the next pasuk, v'darshu hashavtim hetev, on the bottom of Amud Aleph, right? Instead of hetev, v'darshu v'chakru. That does the job. So, instead of v'darshu v'chakru, v'shani krob v'diburi v'hetev, Torah used an unusual lashon and alluded to the extra chakira with the word hetev. Shema min alafnuye. There's an extra message here to allow for the gzera shava. Okay, v'akati mufna mitzad echadu. So, it's called mufna, but only on one side, meaning we're looking to connect three different halachas: Edim Zayimin, Avodah Zarah, and Iran Adachas. So, Bishleim Mahanach Tarti by Edim Zayimin, by Avodah Zarah, which is no mention of Chakira, as we just pointed out, it could have just said Chakira instead of Hetev. Mufna, so it's considered available, extra. Humufnu Mishum Dahavel Mikhtav, it could have said Chakira instead of Hetev. Okay, El Iran Adachas, but take a look at the third leg of this. Table, so to speak. The third leg is Iran Adachas, where it does say Chakira. Ma'avalele Michtav. What else could a Torah have said if not for Hetev? Hoksiva Kulu. It already says V'darashta, Chakarta, Sha'alta. Right? So the only way is to add the word Hetev. Okay? So why is that considered Mufna? And in fact, Rashi explained that Hetev is needed to elaborate on the Sha'alta, right? So we need the Darashta, Chakat, V'Sha'alta, and Hetev explains the Sha'alta, nothing extra. Ha'asam nam yafni mufna, it is extra. Hetev is mufna. You know why? Medahavli lemichtav, Darash Tidrish, Eichaka Tachkar. The Torah could have listed the three by saying Darash Tidrish V'Tachkar, or Tidrish V'Chaka Tachkar. That's it. Instead of going into v'sha'alta hetev, v'shani krob v'diburi, the Torah sort of deviated from its normal mode of expression and added the word hetev, v'hetev shmam nalafnuye, to teach us the gzera shava mufna. And now the roads open wide. We have Edim Zayimin, we have Iran Adachas, Avodah Zarah. We connect all three cases for a total of seven chakiris. We take the four from here, the two from here, and two from there. Now, the punishment pertaining to these offenses, right, are either saif or skila. But what about the other forms of death penalty? Chenek, Shreifa. Who says chakiros apply there? Yeah, we learn one from the other. That's the answer. Vasa nechnoken, mekam chavim neskalam nehrogen. Now chenek is lighter than skila and saif. And if by the more severe punishment we still allow ourselves the drisha of chakira, which sort of makes it difficult to process, certainly by the lighter form of punishment, by chenek, we do the same. Likewise, streifa, which is lighter than skila, is learned by kavachayim from the skila that has a drisha v'chakira, certainly streifa. Yeah, hanichal if the rabbanon, the amri skila chamru, that works according to the rabbanon, who say skila is higher on the scale, up above streifa. So if skila has this leniency of drisha v'chakira, certainly Shreifa does. El Rab Shimon Dama Shreifa Chamur, according to Rab Shimon, says Shreifa is more severe than Skila, then just because Drisha B'Chakir is applied to Skila doesn't mean it's going to apply to Shreifa, which is more Chamur, Ma'ikel Amema. Okay, says the Gemara, you know what? El Amar Rab Yehuda, I'll bring another source for the Shreifa, which even Rab Shimon will agree with. El Amar Rab Yehuda, by the Yachid, who does have a desire, it says, V'hinei Emes Nochem. And also by Iran Adachas, we have the same lashon, v'hinei emes nachin. So that's emes, that's nachin, two forms of Chakira, two Chakiras, and we have Emes and Nachan again, total of four Hachatzrei. So we have the seven mentioned earlier, plus another four, total of 11. Why do you need 11? So Sheva L'Sheva Chakira, seven for the seven basic questions. Dalt last, Gzera Sheva. We have the three extra for Gzera Sheva to tell you that in all three cases, whether it's Ira Nedachas or Avodah Zara or Edim Zayman, right? We connect them through this Gzera Sheva. It's an available Gzera Sheva. All these words, three words are extra to connect it and derive one from the other. Each case requires Sheva Chakiris. So Pasha Luchad. So now you're up to 10, right? You started with 11. 7 is for that. 3 is to make the Gzera Sheva. Right, and the Yad Ramah explains that basically within all these three situations we have a Heitev or we have a Drisha, right? So we'll take one of those words and not use it for the number because we have Emes and Nochen, Emes and Nochen for that. Rather, we're going to use those words to connect, to make a Gzera Sheva Mufna. Right, so that's why we have by Iran Adachas, we have four expressions. By Zohar, we have two. By Zohar, we have two. So until this point, we figured, okay, total of seven. No. One of those words in each setting is not going to be used for the total number. Rather, we have other words for that. We have Emes Nachin, Emes Nachin. Those will be used for the Gzera Sheva, to connect them to each other. And then we're still missing three, because we just deducted three to make the Gzera Sheva, and those three will be shored up by the Emes Nachin. But we have 11. Pashal Uchad, we have an extra one. Oh, the Rav Shimon Lasui Nisrafen. It's going to Rav Shimon. We were short one, because the Nisrafen don't know, so one is for the Nisrafen. The Rabbanan, according to Rabbanan, we have the Kavachaymer for Nisrafen. We don't need a Pasuk for that. Musa, that's the Kavachaymer. Sometimes, you know, the Pasuk will burden itself, so to speak, to teach us something, even though it can be learned from a Kavachaymer. Milsa, the Asa, Kavachaymer, Torah, because of the Krah, Torah went out of its way to teach it to us, even though you could have learned it from a Kavachaymer, but, you know, sometimes the Torah does that, even though, you know, and the Erech Lener explains that sometimes a Kavachaymer can be refuted, and so, for whatever reason, the Torah decided to mention that. M'gadav po Rabbi Avo. Rabbi Avo had a strong challenge on Rabbi Yehuda's enumeration. You had 11, which really left you with one extra. I'll tell you what to do with the extra one. Instead of just a total of 7 chakiris, add another one. Asks the Gemara, what possibly can you add to the list? How do you have another question to ask them? You already know the year, the month, the day, right? Alam Allah says, why not? You can add, become a Bashar. Okay, you said it was within the 6th hour of the day. Which part of the 6th hour? The first part, the second part, right? Was it 6:01 or 6:21? That's a good question to ask them. We found in the Braisa that in fact we do that. We have 8. Well, says the Gemara, the whole point of asking them that would be to trip them. So, Hani Chalabaye, Ali Bidar Meir, we have a whole discussion in Maseches Pesachim. Machlekes Rameh and Rabbi Yehuda, and within that we have Machlekes Abaye and Rava. How much off can a person be? How many minutes can a person be off and still be considered trustworthy? So Anichal Abaye Libed Rameh, Abaye's opinion of Rameh Shita is the Amar who says, Ein Adam Tev Leklum. When a person says 6:21, he means 6:21. There's no room for error. So it's a legitimate question to ask them, because if they're off, right? If they contradict each other, then we know there's something wrong. And same thing with the other track over there, the Gemara Pesachim, that a person will make somewhat of a mistake in terms of, you know, a couple of minutes. Shabra. Okay. So a small error, okay, but a significant error would not be acceptable. So that would explain why we add another question to the deal. Exactly what time was it? So that we could hear them out and see if they manage. Shabbat. So that explains why we would have another Chakira. Ella Bayit Alib Rabbi Yehuda, the Amar Adam Toya Chatisho, but according to Abayit's opinion of Rabbi Yehuda over there in Pesachim, that it's reasonable to expect a person to be off by a half hour. Ulurav Adam Toya in Shituba, according to Rabbi, who says, a person could be off by way more than a half hour, even up to 2 hours. Michael Lemaire said, what's the point of adding the Chakira of what time was it? We don't care. There's no point. Because even if they're off by a significant margin, it's not going to prove them wrong at all. Could be he made a mistake. They didn't have, you know, watches in those days. So it was all about the sun and the positions and all that. Says the Gemara, okay, you know what? We can add an eighth question as follows. Allah, so you become of a Yovel. Which year of the Yovel system was it? Well, we already discussed that. Hanu Beit HaShavua. That was already covered with the first question. Which set of 7 years within the Yovel? Says the Gemara, Allah, so you be a Yovel. You know what? We can add which Yovel? Was it this 50-year set? Was it the last set of 50 years? Says him of Idach. Now, obviously, Rabbi Yehuda didn't hold of this idea of adding another question of which Yovel, because he says it's not really relevant. Kivan de Amar Beit HaShavua, once the Eid already told us which set of years it was, Loi Boi Beit HaYovel, there's no point in asking which Yovel. It's unlikely that he's talking about a story that happened 50 years ago. Right? So when he speaks about which year of the Yovel, we assume it's this Yovel. Rabbi Yossi Omer, he says, you don't have to go so elaborate. Just speak about which day, which hour, which location. Tanya Omla Rabbi Yossi Chachamim. So Rabbi Yossi turns to the Chachamim. He says, look, why do we always need seven Chakiris? Such elaborate question. Misha Baba Omar Emesh Haroga. Let's say a person walks into the bed and says, you know what? I'm going to tell you about a story that happened Emesh. Emesh typically means last night or yesterday. So what's the point of asking him further? Which year, which month? He said yesterday. Yesterday means yesterday. Omla Rabbi Yossi Shavua. Do we have to respond by asking him which Shavua, Beit HaShana, Beit HaChodesh, Ram HaMechay, what's the point? So, just ask him which day it was, and we'll assume, right, that the rest will be clear on its own. We don't have to ask him all these questions. It's not standard to ask. It's not necessary. Amrullah, so they respond, V'rech, according to you, Mishabab Amar Achshav Harog. That's a person who shows up to business, you know what happened today? Happened right now. He killed him right now. So even your limited Chakir is unnecessary. Once you said it happened now, we know which day, we know what time, we know, right? So what do you need three questions for? Why do you have a standard three question questionnaire? It's not always necessary. Ella, afagav leitzorich, Rabbi Nella. The answer is even though it's not always necessary, we pile it on to the eight. We want to intimidate him. Because Rabbi Shimon Elazar, who told us back on the Aflamed Beis, we move them around from room to room, disorient them, we throw questions by them to throw them off kilter, to knock their confidence, to try to punch a hole in their testimony and discover whether they're actually saying the truth. Hachanami. Same thing with us. We have a standard seven question questionnaire, right, in all situations, right, to put them sort of on defensive and get them nervous. Even though it's not always necessary, Ramin Alei, we apply it to him. Kedav Shimon Elazar. Rabbi Yossi responds, but within reason. He says, no, actually, the reason for the questions has nothing to do with throwing him off kilter. It has to do with what is typically required. What information do we typically have to verify? Emesh HaRogai, Sheikh Barabi Duyes. Typically, an aide walks into bed and says, you know, this is what happened yesterday. So that justifies a standard, you know, three-question questionnaire. But Achshav Harog L'Shev, whatever you do, is typically, it doesn't come running to bed and talk and speaks about an event that happened right now. It's not typical. So that's why, you know, we do ask those basic questions. It's not typical for it not to be necessary. Unless we see that it happened, if, you know, he's talking about a past event, then we'll start asking about month and year. But typically, we don't have to. Interesting, you know, Rabbi Yossi is speaking about Emesh HaRoga, he killed him last night, so what do we have to ask him which day? So Farshim explained, the Rosh Hashanah says, look, Emesh, the term Emesh can mean last night, it can mean yesterday evening, before nightfall. So we have to verify. Which day was it? Was it yesterday before nightfall or after nightfall? Okay, continues the Mishnah. Makirim, atem boy, oisai. We move on to the next question. This is called Bedikos. Tanu Rabbanan, makirim, atem oisai. Do you know who the murdered person or the victim was? Nachri harag, Yisraelag, did he kill the guy? Did he kill Yid? Shreisim boy. Did you warn him that it's forbidden to kill? And if he does so, he's going to get... He's going to get punished with Saif, by sword. Kibbalah of Asra. Next question. Did the murderer accept the warning? Did he acknowledge it? Hitir atzma lemisa? Did he actually say, I don't care about getting killed? Hemeth techdei dibur? Did he actually kill within a very short time of the Asra? Otherwise, maybe he forgot what you just told him. Techdei dibur is a time of that takes to greet somebody. Shalom Acha Rebbe. So it's a very short lapse there. In the case of Avodah Zarah, Esmi Avad, what type of Avodah Zarah did he worship? Lefayr Avad? Was it Pa'er? Or the Markulis Avad? Was it Markulis? But Me'avad, how did he worship? B'zibuch, did he slaughter an animal? B'kitter? Haktara? B'nisach, pouring wine? B'shtachvoa, bowing, right? So basically, we cover all the different angles of the story, and that's called B'dikis. Okay, so in a nutshell, we have Chakirus, we have B'dikis, Hem Chakirus, we have seven. We have the psukim for that, with Xeris Shava, with a whole arrangement that allows us to come to that total of seven. We have a brisa which adds another one for a total of eight, which was which yovel. Rav Yosi says, no, you don't even need seven. Basic question is, b'ezi yom, b'ezi jo, b'ezi makom, unless you see you need more than that, you don't need to start with more than that. Chacham respond by saying, look, it's unnecessary, but we just want to intimidate him, we want to throw many questions his way to throw him off kilter, to confirm that he's in fact saying the MS. What's the difference between Chakiris and Bedikis? Chakiris, you gotta know it. Otherwise, you disqualify. Bedikis, you don't necessarily have to know, but either way, you can't contradict each other. We learned the whole process of the Kabbalah's Eidos, Chakira Bedika, the way the Bezin deliberates, they wait overnight, and how they take their final vote. Yep, okay. All the best to you, and Hatzlacha Rabbah.